from PRX.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast so that when he's not chewing pens, he's looking for them because he can't, like you've probably heard that, like I can't get, if I'm not chewing them, I've lost them. But it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide some? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to the both of those, like, how much is that, is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. This episode was made possible with the help of Carl W., the legend, who edited this episode. Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who did this theme music. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. And I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter, and also there's a Facebook group the listeners have over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. You could talk about not being able to sleep, or you could talk about the good stuff out there, cats and dogs and rainbows, unicorns, snack cakes, anything you like, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank Summer and Sarah, Lauren, Lida, and Julie and Jennifer, and that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you awake, whether you're up because of something physical, some kind of emotional feeling you're dealing with, mind racing, stuff from the past, stuff from the future, noisy neighbors, cats, any kind of cats, especially outside, garbage night cats, you know, or just cat, you know, when you hear cats in the night. I don't know what the sailor, I don't think that's a sailor's delight. Cats, cat noises at night, you know, outside, those ones where it's like, you say, what is it, a full moon? But that's a, like, isn't that a, that's not, that's a canine that barks at the moon. But whatever it is keeping me awake, it could be any of those things, it could be something totally different. I'm going to try to distract you from whatever it is. I'm going to use creaky dulcet tones, flying on wings of pointlessness, escorted by mumbles and stumbles, and I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night, and on Sunday nights, I also send it across the known and unknown universe, and maybe even dimensions, ideally, ideally, that'd be great, you know, getting in another dimension. Maybe they say, hey, you could say when they, you know, they, that would be good. I could use cross-dimensional help. So here's, let me, if you're new here, welcome, by the way. I'm glad you're here. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. That's what I always say at the end of the intro. But let me do a little placemaking. Because after this, it'll be all meandering. I'll be lucky if I get through the placemaking, because now I'm already, you know, just talking 30 seconds about placemaking before doing any placemaking. And anytime I bring up placemaking, I think of placemats, which makes me think of childhood. And then it makes me think of like, like making your own placemats or stores, you know. But anyway, let me do some placemaking. If you're new here, so we like, here's the structure of an episode of Sleep With Me. While most episodes are different, I'll give you the whole nine yards just in case you're new. So it starts off with the business stuff. That's like the first 4 or 5 minutes. You know, that's what pays the bills and the people that work hard on the show, some people for free. And then we do an intro, which we're in the middle of. Usually the intros are like somewhere between 9 and 14 minutes. And it's a show within itself. Sometimes a lot of people listen to this and they fall asleep to this. So it's familiar. But each intro is different, you know, so that way it stays distracting. I like variety. I think variety is more distracting. I already forgot, you know, placemaking. Then we're going to do, like, we're going to talk about Star Trek The Next Generation, the episode Who Watches the Watchers. And then if we, depending on the time, because I like these shows, like, so to take the pressure off you falling asleep right away, I like them to be over an hour. So maybe we'll do some facts that came up on the episode. And if you're new here, you're under no pressure to listen or to fall asleep. So you can kind of listen. You can kind of let me drift off into the background at some point. Or if you're having trouble falling asleep, I'll be here to keep you company. I'm your boyfriend. And I'll be sitting close by. And also, I like to have some words of wisdom with these Star Trek episodes recently to try to make a metaphor for the show. And in this episode, one of the characters, a guest on the Starship Enterprise, says, "What a wondrous place." She's talking to Picard. "Even the walls obey your commands." And Picard says, "Wondrous, yes, but not miraculous." And I would definitely say that this podcast, like, I don't think it's wondrous. It's definitely not miraculous. But, you know, when you're sleepless, you know, if you're in the deep, dark night, which I've been tossing and turning, unable to fall asleep, and, you know, you can get to a desperate place, and I try to insert not wondrous, but wonder. Yeah, that's really what drives the podcast. In some sense, that's what drove some of the Star Trek missions is wonder. I wonder, curiosity. And this podcast is a kind of search for a couple different kinds of wonder. One is just to give myself a little space to meander and say, huh, I wonder. Like this episode, the Vulcan Bronze Age came up, I think. So I said, huh, I wonder about that. But there's also this ability, this great thing I get out of making the podcast, because I have to slow down and try to observe more, is to stumble on these wonderful things. Like this episode, there's a, like, ideally when I'm going through the reruns. Now, they're not super wondrous, like you got to stay awake for them. They're more like they just keep me going week after week to make this show and to give it my all so I can be here to take your mind off stuff. Well, you know, I keep my eyes on this and I say, well, I like that look. Riker had a pretty good, you know, I say, well, that was like wonder. I don't know. I think that's the wrong metaphor. I mean, I always strive. The highest, one of the pinnacles I shoot for in this podcast is to make bedtime feel delightful. And I think by striving for that goal, you know, I can fall short of it. And then you say, well, that's not, you know, it doesn't make bedtime worse. And I say, okay, great. I'm striving to make bedtime delightful, to bring you delight. So I'm shooting for the stars. Like, I'm shooting for a sense of wonder. And if I only get halfway there, that's good, because you don't need to stay awake for it. That, you know, that's a great, I guess, a give and take we have here. And that's part of the symbiosis of the show. Miraculous, not miraculous. Wonder, whatever Picard said, you know, I'll get back to that later. But basically, this is a podcast you don't have to listen to. You can kind of listen. You just lie back. You can put it on before when you're getting ready for bed or when you're already in bed. You could set a sleep timer. Definitely easiest way to listen is on a mobile device via podcasting app, because you can set sleep timers. You can make playlists of multiple episodes if you need them. And you can listen with your phone off, so you don't got to worry about that blue light or, you know, checking things, you know, where you say, well, let me just take one last look. You know, you want to go to sleep. You deserve it. And if I can help with it, really would be an honor. So I'm glad you're here. And I really hope this show can help you fall asleep. And I appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, we're talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Who Watches the Watchers? And, you know, I'm trying to make this evolve slowly. So now I got my full setup. I got Who Watches Watchers playing on an old iPhone 4S. And I got all my stuff here. So we'll do a little run through. And the episode is rolling. But it opens with Captain's Log. Can't read my hand. Unfortunately, I don't have a handwriting reader here. But Picard says Mintaka 3 or something, their anthropological field team with a bad reactor, and we got to get down there. Geordi does not understand. Like, this was an interesting little 2 or 3 minute exchange, because Geordi says, geez, why do they have such a powerful reactor? He's representing the audience here, I think, and saying, well, what's the hook here? And Riker kind of teases, I says, well, a phaser bank, a subspace relay, or Geordi, come on, figure it out on your own. You're a big kid. And he says, oh, a hologram generator, a duck blind. They're anthropologists. And then Picard says, yeah, they're studying Mintakans at close range, but they're camouflaged. You know, they're just anthropologizing. And Troy says they're proto-Vulcan humanoids at a Bronze Age level, peaceful and rational. And Picard says, yeah, they've paralleled the Vulcan evolution, so that makes sense. And let's see what else we have here.
This was one criticism I had of Geordi.
Shouldn't he have read the reports and known this all? But I guess he's a representative of us. And then the reactor goes bad. So, like Picard says, you know, we got to get down there. And Data says, don't worry, sir. If we get to warp 7, we could be there in 27 minutes. And he says, make it so. And then we see it's Who Watches the Watchers. And then team beams in a good. So team beams in. We see the away team. They're in the reactor, or the duck blind, the anthropological station. And there's some good electrical effects. And then I don't know if anybody's watched a certain TV show with Twin Peaks, but you get if you did, you're in for it here for a good, I guess, a laugh. I don't know if the laugh's the right word. Maybe a pleasant surprise, named Leland, but where it's a father and a daughter, they're going to read the sundial. It's very cute interaction, very nice father-daughter interaction, and they see this spark, like a reflection of the sun. It's the observation post. And then we go back there, and Geordi and Riker and Data are, like, repairing stuff. Crusher's taking care of the staff. Then the father and daughter, what does it say? OG? Is that what that says? Father and daughter, OGE? Oh, yeah, that's the father's name, OG. Oh, no, the daughter's name. You think I haven't seen this episode before. Yeah, but the father climbs, the father goes, he goes, you wait here, OG. And then he gets up and he peeks in like the window of this observation post and he sees Data. He like basically locks eyes with Data. Beam out with Patton, then eye contact with Data. What does that say? Beam out. Oh, no, somebody like transports out with the patient. Then Liko is this guy's name. He makes eye contact with Data. It's like you can't believe his eyes. You know, he's in the Bronze Age. So he has a little feigning spell. And then his daughter runs to him, but, you know, it's Bronze Age. They don't have smelling salts. So she hides as Crusher runs down to give him smelling salts. And then she says, I didn't even bring any with me. We got to beam back to the Enterprise. And this brought up a lot of questions for me, like curiosity questions, because then the generator's fixed and the daughter climbs up to where the father was. And she checks and she feels, and it's stone, which I guess, from what I've been learning as I've been watching these Star Trek episodes, is that these holograms, that might not be the real right word, because it's the same technology as the transporter and the food generators and stuff. It's not it's not a fake. It's real, I think, as I'm learning. And I'll keep learning. That's why I'm here. I mean, you know, it'll take me. You guys saw how I did with Spanish, right? Let's see. Feels this fake zone. And sick bay, Picard's not happy with how things went on the planet. He's like, Crusher's like, well, he fainted, so we had to get him out of there. You know, he had already seen us. And Picard says, I'm not sure I, concur with your reasoning. You know, this is total prime directive trouble. And then he says, you remove all memory of his, and she says, well, I could try Dr. Pulaski's technique for short-term memory. But, mentaic and brains are different. And I don't know about their lie zones. And let's see what happens next here. Picard's not pleased. Damage was done. Picard's very cool when he says remove all memory. But then the dude wakes up and sees Picard as Picard's giving out orders. And they're looking for a guy that was missing from the duck blind. And Picard says, you know, I want that 4%, you know, because they say if we get closer, I could get you 4% more efficiency. And then the dude says to himself, Picard. And then he gets beamed back and wakes up. And then he says, OG, OG. I spelled OG, you know, phonetically. OHGEE! Exclamation point. And the daughter's looking. Now, here's a little interruption here. Like, if you've been to Disneyland, in Cars Land and Disneyland, obviously it didn't exist when they shot this episode, but the mountains look a lot like the manufactured mountains at Disneyland, the Cadillac Range. And I just thought that was interesting. Then the father and his great ride there, it was it's worth it to go to Cars Land. Very, very immersive. And you got to stay for the neon when the neon comes on. Then the father and daughter talk. She says, Father, what happened? And he goes, I met the Picard. He goes, long ago, we believed in beings with great powers, and they made the rains come and the sun rise. And she says, those are tales, Father, superstitions. And Liko says, well, maybe they're true. He goes, everything has changed now, OG. We got to tell everybody about it. Also, these people have humongously strange eyebrows. And then there's a commercial when they go to tell the others. Then there's a staff meeting, and they're like, we can't find the guy who left the dyke blind. And we're looking around the planet, and like lots of places he could be hiding out. His name's Palmer, which is totally like this wild, because Leland Palmer is a character that is just wild. But they say, we got to track this guy down because, you know, can't have any more cultural interference. We need to let these people develop on their own. And then Riker goes, well, I got a little idea. And this is when this episode goes from being good. At least like this interplay, it's just worth it to just watch the episode for this one portion. that just lets you know how on how many levels the show's really is operating. It's total like it's role like it like I put holy role play, and that's exactly. I mean, I don't know. It's a serious role play situation in Riker and Troy. You know, they cut that part out. I put holy role play exclamation point. So awesome. You know, even on the next second rewatch, like it's just you, like even the way Picard's dressed, he has green shorts. I mean, Riker. He's got these interesting boots that are like just below the knee, but they're open boots. So definitely must not be a lot of rain on this planet, which it doesn't look like. He's got kind of a darker blue-green vest. They're both holding fabric. He's got chest hair. He's rocking his chest hair. Oh, I guess I should explain to you what happened. So Troy and Riker beam down to the planet dressed as Mintakans. And they're both into it. And I mean underlined in exclamation point, what do you call this thing? Quotes, in quotes, you know, like interlocking parentheses or whatever you want me to say. Like they're very playful acting. And, you know, I prefer Troy, like, I don't know about the eyebrows, but this is a much more, like, natural, like, human look, even though she's a Mintakan, as far as her dress goes. And her and Riker have a little, like, flirting situation. They say, you know, Mintakan emotions are interesting. This is Counselor Troy. Like Vulcans, they have ordered, highly ordered minds. They're sensible people. For example, Mintakan women precede their mates. It's like a single to other signal to other women. And then she goes in front of Riker, and they both have these great looks on their face. And Riker says, "This man's taken, get your own." And she says, "Not precisely, more like if you want his services, I'm the one you have to negotiate with." And Riker says, "What kind of services?" And Troy says, "All kinds." And then he says, Riker says, "They are a sensible race." And it was just awesome. And also Troy was like I don't know what shoes she was wearing. The walking was a little awkward. And then they just roll up to the Mintakan thing. This is where I was like, wouldn't they need a little extra training before they try to assimilate? Also, they were covered in straw, of course. She said, why is there straw in their bags? But, you know, don't worry about it. And they go into this assembly hall, and Liko's telling them all about what happened. He goes, "Yeah, I realize you're skeptical." And he goes, "But my daughter saw most of it." And they have this guy, Fento, who's their wise person. Like they say, then there used to be gods that could appear and disappear. And Fento said, "Yeah, there was one called the Overseer who could do that and heal people." And they say, "It was supreme power. So the ancestors believed." And Liko goes, "Yeah, I met him. His name is the Picard." And I love that, the Picard. And Riker and Troy are going on the down low. So they say, like they're talking, communicating like with Bluetooth, with the one that like where you don't need a speaker. So they say, "Oh, his memory's intact. This isn't going to work." And then Nuria, who's their leader, says, "Liko, this is supernatural talk. No one's to believe that in generations. We don't believe the stars control our fates or the spirits." And Liko says, "Well, not. I don't think everything's true, but I met the Picard, and that's who healed me." And then this was like a little bit, I don't know if like, I don't know if you would lose your license. Troy seems to, I don't know. I'm not a therapist, so. But while lawyers being like Luria is being the voice of reason, the Picard, Troy goes, "Well, you know, we're just in from out of town, and I don't want to throw shade on all your ideas because we're just here celebrating, selling fabric, and I'd love to validate your feelings, but you know, it was just a dream, you know, it was interesting, but just a dream." By the way, this is Riker. "You know, sorry, our hair's all messed up. We slipped and fell in one another's arms, you know, oh boy." And Liko goes, no, it wasn't a dream. I'm sure I was observing. And his daughter says, yeah, me and my father both saw this. And Troy says, oh, well, maybe you had a shared dream. And Liku goes, that's not reasonable. And Riker, I don't know if he said, well, is that less reasonable than magic by some Picard? And, oh, yeah, this is another thing. It was like, this was really a Keystone Cops episode because everything that the crew of the Enterprise does just keeps, like, falling apart step after step. Because then they roll in with Palmer, the guy that they've been looking for, and he's, like, Weekends at Bernie. He's totally fainted. And he has no motor function, just like Weekends at Bernie's, but, you know, different because he's fine eventually. And they say, well, geez, this is Picard's guy. He's going to be pleased we found him. And even Nuri is like, well, I guess you were telling the truth. This is a guy in a spacesuit. And Liko says, the Picard will be pleased. And then Riker goes, Riker to Picard, well, yeah, we got a big problem. It's not going good. And Picard says, well, how bad? He goes, well, they're starting to believe in a god, and it's you. And then there's a slow pull in and a commercial break. Then this lead anthropologist is really salty. He's arguing with Picard. Again, I don't know anything about authority, but I'm like, the guy's really like adamant with Picard, which I guess is good because he's about his staff support, but. He says, Picard, I must protest. And I put, this is one bossy dude. And then we're back on the planet. Everyone's touching the Palmer's face. And Liko's like, oh, you know what? This is a servant of the overseer. And they say, right, Vento? And Vento says, well, maybe. But why would he be down here in a cave? And they say, well, maybe, Picard's not happy with him. And then Riker tries again. He goes, these are just superstitions. This guy's just in a spacesuit. Don't you have Halloween? We have that in our village. So they say, Riker says, oh, it's superstition. And Nuri says, no. She goes, normally I'd agree with you, but the evidence is contrary, my dear Riker. And Liko says, I heard Picard say he's looking for Palmer. And here's a little pandering for fans of a certain Mr. Palmer is concerned with the $1,000 question, you know, just like Roger. Anyway, that was a little pandering to a certain group of the audience. But just like they say, well, if we keep Mr. Palmer safe, please Picard, and they'll give us favors. And this is when you get the subtext and the emotional drive. And I just had seen, I'm going to see Rogue One again tomorrow, I think, and I don't know. You think about why certain movies work, and then why is Star Trek so beloved by so many people? And I've been really impressed how, I'm watching another episode right now, the emotional substance they can put into these episodes. So the thing with Liko and OG is that there was floods, and during the floods, Liko's wife, OG's mom, she took a boat in the flood and you know, went to visit this farm island. And so OG's kind of obsessed with this higher power thing because he said, well, maybe my wife will come back from the farm island to live with me and my daughter again if I can get Picard, the overseer, happy. So it's kind of driving this obsession. I don't know, it just really, especially the spectacular acting, but it just sticks out to me because you can see that it's this driving subtextual force sometimes in the episode, or maybe not subtextual, I just like using that word because I do think it makes me sound, one time a teacher praised me for using that word. So if you're ever wondering, why is Scoots who use subtextual so often, teacher praise. So, you know, works, praise works, for me overusing words, shame does not make me underuse words, by the way, because I do get every episode I hear from some person hasn't worked. It just keeps me up. It doesn't help me to say the words less. Anyway, let's get back to the episode, because I he's a servant of the overseer. Bring back those who've passed, which is a nice extra. Then Troy, they do this Riker and Troy, still a Keystone Cops situation, but Troy says, geez, I seen somebody else that works for the overseer outside. Everybody come on. And everyone runs outside, and then Riker's inside with the older wise person and Palmer. And Riker says, you know who Will Rogers is? And the guy goes, no, this is the Bronze Age. You're breaking Prime Directive. Riker goes, well, he would do these rope tricks. Let me show you him. And then Riker takes Palmer and tries to bolt. Like another weekend at breakout with Weekend at Bernie's, gets caught by OG, who picks this time to go check the sundial. And she tells on them, so Troy gets busted because Riker gets away. But before Riker gets away, there's like a fake bird, 2215. I wasn't sure if it's fake bird or real bird. I just rewatched it and I couldn't, let me see, I'm still playing it. I didn't see it. You couldn't tell if it was a bird on a stick. Oh, there it is. I just saw it. It was, couldn't tell again. It's 2207 actually. In case you're playing the at-home game. And again, I couldn't tell if it was a fake bird or, you know, with a real bird with perfect timing. Just appears behind the mountains. And it caught my eye. Then Riker's out. Then Troy's in the middle of a group of the Mintakans. And they're like, why did you take Riker from us? Why'd you and Riker take Palmer from us? And Troy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. We set him free. We don't believe in fables about the overseer. And Leko says, you've angered the Picard. You know, I've met the Picard, all powerful. And Nico has all these crazy ideas about what to do with Troy. Like, should we arrest her or whatever? And then there's an ad. And Riker and Picard are having a meeting with the anthropologist. They're like, man, we really messed this up. And they say, what do you think they're going to do with Troy, or what should we do? And they're like, well, they think you're a god. And Picard says, recommendations? And the anthropologist says, well, you got to send him a sign. And Picard says, what do you mean? And Baron says, go down there. And Riker says, as a god? And Picard says, no, this is against the Prime Directive. And they're like, we're just trying to minimize the damage we've already done. And Picard says, by sanctioning false beliefs. And Aaron says, give them a guideline. So let them know what the overseer expects. Really good, because Picard's under a lot of peer pressure here. And he realizes, like, his actions have consequences. He says, I will not impose a set of commandments on these people. He goes, this violates the very essence of the Prime Directive. And they say, well, we stirred up their belief in the overseer. And Riker says, so this is going to become a religion? And Baron says, it's inevitable without guidance, and it could, you know, be the negative side of it. And Picard, he says, horrifying. He goes, these are rational people, you know, without supernatural. And he goes, we're going to sabotage this and send them back into superstition and fear? No. He says, also, the anthropologist is dressed as Obi-Wan Kenobi in this part two. He says, oh, no, Picard says, we're going to find a way to fix this. And he goes, number one, who's the leader? And he says, a smart woman named Nuria, very clear-minded and sensible, and they trust her. If we could, you know, we could convince her you're not a god. And then Picard says, she might persuade the others. And they say, well, how are you going to do that? And Picard says, well, if she thinks the Picard's a magical figure, I'll show her behind the magic. I'll bring her aboard. Let's see. Masquerading. Oh, also I said Holy Sims. Like, this was like the Sims game a little bit. Oh, also I said, this guy's the worst anthropologist. I said, what the heck kind of Dr. Baron is this fool? I mean, first of all, he's dressed as, I mean, I guess I'm no one to criticize, but he's dressed as Obi-Wan. You know what? No, he's dressed as Aunt Beru, Uncle Owen. He's dressed as Uncle Owen from A New Hope. I'm not kidding. I'm looking at him right now. He's dressed in the exact same outfit Uncle Owen was dressed as. And just a worse thing. I mean, I don't want to get anybody fired, but this guy should have never been an anthropologist. He's been in that duck blind too long. And I put Holy Sims because this is just like a Sims game where you become, you know, the whole God complex type thing. Horrifying, strong standby, Picard, rational, Nuria. Okay, then we have Data talking to Troy, and she's trying to be sly. She's like, well, by the way. And they're like, once Nuria's alone, we'll beam her up to transporter room one, which I said, there's more than one transporter room, really. I didn't realize that, but I did hear transporter room three recently. And this was pretty cool because Picard goes down transporter one. He says, I'll handle this. And he even does the working of the transport controller. And Nuria comes aboard. He says, hey, don't be afraid. I'm Jean-Luc Picard. And she goes, she says, or Jean-Luc. And she says, Picard. And she kneels. Then we go to commercial. Picard says, get up. He goes, look at me. I'm, you know, I have, you feel the warmth of my hand. I'm flesh like you. And this is from the opening. The doors open and she sees the door open by itself. She says, what a wondrous place. Even the doors obey your commands. And Picard says, wondrous, yes, but not miraculous. Then they look down at her planet, which was a little disorienting because I thought that would melt someone's mind seeing their planet from outer space. But she says, this is my home. And he goes, seen from above. And she goes, yet we do not fall. I never thought I'd see the clouds from the other side. This was a little advanced for me. I mean, a little bit of a jump. And this was funny too. But she goes, your power, like at first, Picard's like, okay, I told her I'm flesh and blood. Oh, problem solved. And she goes, your powers are truly boundless. And she says, can you bring some people back from this island farm we have? And Picard gets a headache. It's so funny. And then he weaves this really like a good metaphor. He goes, geez, do you live in huts or caves? And she says, yeah, we live in huts. He goes, well, did you live in caves? He goes, yeah, but we learned how to make huts. And he goes, oh, that would be, I don't know, he brings her on this logic quest of reasonable assumptions. Someone invented a better hut and bows and then taught it to others. Picard was really good here. He says it's like magic or something. He says it's magic or something. And he says it like a whisper. Let me see if I can find the dialogue. They say, oh, because we hunt with bows. And Picard says, well, what if someone's never seen a bow? Doesn't exist in their world. To you, it's a simple tool. To her, it's magic. You know, he says, you know, I just liked that. Like a whisper. And then they say, well, how would the people react if they saw you, Nuria? And they say, well, maybe they'd be afraid. And then Picard says, just as you fear me. And she says, I do not fear you any longer. And Picard says, good, because we lived in caves once, and then we built huts, and then we built ships like this. And she says, perhaps one day my people will travel above the skies. And Picard says, of that, I have no doubt. And then we're back on the planet, and what is the name? Liko's freaking out. He's like, well, there's lightning. That means Picard's not happy. He blames us. And he's totally going back and forth. Then we go back to the ship, and Luria's touching a model of the old Enterprise. Oh, this is when she says, by the way, Picard, this is when Picard gets a real headache, because she says, we got six people on this farm island, and they win a boat, but they need a ride back, we think, from a god. And, you know, do you think you could handle that? And Picard says, no. And then they said, he said, I don't know what we could have done to get you to bring those people back from the island. And Picard says, I failed to get through to you, haven't I, despite all my efforts, which I like again, because we were close to the finish line. And again, this Keystone Cops theme keeps, you know, they fumble the ball. And then we're back on the planet, and Liko or whatever, it's like, we must do as the Picard wishes. Lots of sleep-making ban-ban. What does that mean? Magic ban-ban. I can't, what does that mean? Okay, we must do as Picard wishes. Lots of sleep magic ban. Man, I can't figure that out. Searched everywhere. And the scene's going on now. I don't know. I'm almost positive that's what it says. Not Picard wishes. I don't know. Maybe wishes everyone goes to sleep. Then there's an ad. But that'll remain a mystery. Then we're at the med bay. And one of the anthropologists says, you know what? I'm going to do some anthropological work on this farm island. And the guy dressed as Uncle Owen with a bad attitude, and then Loria says, Picard, that anthropologist, she went to live on the same island. I get it now. Just people sometimes go to live on islands, farm islands. You are not masters of life or farm islands. I understand it. For all our advances, we are just as mortal and powerless to stop the inevitable. She says, you are not supreme beings. Oh, no, she says, you're not superior beings. My people must understand that. And then let's see. Not superior beings. I just figured out the last mystery. Because every Star Trek episode is kind of like a mystery. I just realized that there's lots of sheep. There's some sound design on the planet of lots of sheep going bah-bah. So if I go back, what I thought said lots of sleep making ban actually says lots of sheep making ba ba, with the ban being baa. Though it looks like ban, lots of sleep making ban is what a normal person would guess. It's a mystery, just like every Star Trek episode, or a lot of them are like a mystery that has to be solved. My handwriting is a mystery that may accidentally be solved by doubling up my notes. But on the planet, Troy's still pushing for a solution. Liko's still pushing for something wild. And then the daughter stands up. She says, Father, we don't need to do anything wild. And he says, Picard, we need your guidance. And he's kind of answering. And then Picard shows up and he says, Liko. And he says, the Picard, the overseer has come. And he says, no, I'm not an overseer. I'm a traveler from a faraway land. Nothing more. Liko says, but you healed me. I'm your servant. And Picard says, you're no one's servant, Liko. I don't desire obedience or worship. And Nuria says, the Picard speaks the truth. It gave him a headache. That's proof right there when we were on his ship. Also, I have a great idea for doors, Nuria says. Once we get back to doing the doors. You were just sick, Liko, and Picard helped you with technology. And Liko says, no, Picard can bring my wife back from the farm island. Picard says, I can't. And Liko says, did I fail you? Why won't you help me? Are you upset? And Picard says, I'm not upset. And Liko says, I'll do whatever you wish, Picard. And Picard says, it's beyond my power. I like this because Picard's kind of helpless. Against Liko's logic. And Liko says, nothing's beyond your power. You're the overseer. And Picard says, I'm not all-powerful, dude. I don't know what you want me to do. And then Liko does one last test, which, then it cuts to a commercial, I think. Let me see. Let me read through. Picard, we need your guidance. To Picard, no, I'm a traveler. Then we have more sheep sounds. Nico's still a believer, beyond my power. Picard does a bold all-or-nothing move to prove it. The daughter saves the day. Then he says, Captain's log? Yeah, supplemental. I'm healing up, but I have one last visit to Mintaka 3. And one last visit to Mintaka 3. And he kind of shows them what the observation post is. And they say, what is it? And he said, well, a place to watch you. And they say, why? And he says, to understand you, to study you. And then it vanishes. And they say, well, why would advanced people want to learn about us? And Picard says, well, we were once as you are now. Little first world there, Picard. Easy on the first world stuff. It says, to study you is to understand ourselves. And they say, well, why hide? And they say, and then Liko says, well, because the presence would affect people like me, you know, because I get all bent out of shape. And Picard says, it's our highest law that we not interfere with other cultures except by incompetence and accidents. And they say, oh, so it's an accident. OG says that. And then Picard says, all right, I got to get out of here. You know, I got a spaceship with, you know, with. And he says, maybe Dr. Crusher and I would like to dress up as Mentakans first. And Wesley says, great, I'll come with you. And Picard says, oh. And then the dude, like, the, I think the guy dressed as Uncle Owen goes. And so, but they did that in the countryside. So that part was cut out. Yeah, but OG says, well, why don't you teach us more before? And he says, I can't teach you about this. It's called role play. You'll learn about it, maybe. I don't know. It's a first world thing. I don't know. Maybe you have to be bored first. And he said, also interfere with your own progress. You'll progress in your own way. And Nuria says, so we will. Just as you have taught us, there's nothing beyond our reach, not even the stars. And then they give Picard, like, a cool belt or something. And he ties up all their screw-ups with a neat bow. That's what I put. Nothing beyond our reach, not even the stars. And a gift. And he says, Nuria says, I wish you good journeys, Picard. Remember my people. And Picard says, always, actually, since Dr. Crusher is with Wesley. He says, no, that's definitely prime. And then the episode comes to a close. Very good episode. But I want to talk about a couple things from this episode, facts-wise. First is the great actor Ray Wise. This is from Wikipedia. Raymond Herbert Wise is an American actor, played Leland Palmer in Twin Peaks. He was in RoboCop, Rising Sun. He's been in a bunch of TV shows, and I think he's in a bunch of season 24 of season 5. From Akron, Ohio, went to Garfield High, just in case anybody, and then went to Kent State. Wow, he's Romanian descent, according to Wikipedia. And best known for his role as Leland Palmer, was also on a soap opera, Love of Life, for 7 years and 950 episodes. Was in the TV pilot of TV show Beauty and the Beast. I remember that, in addition to Twin Peaks. He's been in a lot of science fiction, played Liko in Star Trek, and was also in an episode of Star Trek Voyager. He's been on Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, a bunch of other stuff. And, I mean, just an amazing job. I mean, Leland Palmer, like, just, I mean, amazing. I remember watching a couple of those big episodes with my mom when they were on TV. And to say it's hard to ever even see acting at that caliber. If you watch season one of Twin Peaks, you won't be disappointed. It was also in the 1982 film Swamp Thing. I saw that. I always liked that. Journey to Natty Gann. That was a good one. I think Natty Gann was one of my first, well, not my first crushes, because I'd have been in fifth grade, but... It's been a bunch of movies. Battle of Shaker Heights, wasn't that the first Project Greenlight? A friend was in that, Shia. It was season two of Project Greenlight. And I'm pretty sure he's got a couple of projects coming out soon. Oh, no, it is in, yeah, like Commissioner Jordan and an animated film coming soon. So that's Ray Wise. Very, very good. And then I'd say the Vulcan Bronze Age is a little bit more advanced than the humans just by looking the way they look on TV and into my imagination. But according to Wikipedia, real quick, the Bronze Age is a period characterized on Earth by bronze proto-writing and early features of urban civilization. So that's true there. It's the second principal period of the three-age stone, bronze, and iron system. For classifying and studying ancient societies. And civilizations defined to be in the Bronze Age by either smelting its own copper and alloying it with tin, arsenic, or other metals, or by trading for bronze from production areas elsewhere. Copper tin ore is rare, So there was no tin bronze in Western Asia before trading began in the 3rd century BC. Worldwide, the Bronze Age generally followed the Neolithic period. And although the Iron Age generally followed the Bronze Age, some areas, the Iron Age intruded directly on the Neolithic. Bronze Age cultures differed in their development of writing. According to archaeological evidence, Mesopotamia and Egypt developed the first early viable writing systems. So that's a little bit about the Bronze Age. And I looked up Vulcan Bronze Age. It only brings up stuff about the this episode. But what about the transporter room? This is from Fandom, Memory Alpha Wiki. Transporter room is a part of Starship or Space Station, outfitted for transportation of life forms. Life forms are small inanimate objects. There are a number of transporter rooms per ship or station, main criteria being, you know, to get everybody off the ship in a key amount of time. Some ships, such as the NX-class Enterprise, did not have a transporter room. Okay, let's see. I guess I should know the transporter room by heart, but I don't. I mean, the number of the Starship... So this might be the original Enterprise. Galaxy-class Starship NCC-1701D had at least 20 transporter rooms. So let me just check the internet. You know, I don't want to give you the wrong info. Okay, here it is. NCC-1701D. Was I talking about the C earlier? I don't know. Let me just see. This is also from Memory Alpha Wiki. A lot of stuff on here. First contact. This is everything. Okay, here we go. Technical data. Main shuttle bays on deck 4. Deck 12. Shipboard, ship directory, crew. Okay, that's not going to help me. So anyway, like at least they have a lot of transporter rooms to get everybody off the ship, which totally makes sense. So it's good to know, like, if you're on the ship, let's say they had, just been watching an episode where they had the number of crew, I think it was 1,000 people. So 1,000 divided by 20 is like 50 person per transporter room. So you could get, yeah, that sounds very efficient. So yeah, that's a little bit about, some stuff. Bronze Age, a great actor. And I guess it was an attempt to look up stuff about the Enterprise. All right. Good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. This is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk.
I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.